This week I'm talking to Annie Townend. This episode was recorded some while ago, in the end of the summer last year. And just for information, since it was recorded, Annie did join us in the sea when she came surfing with us in Cornwall. I hope you enjoy this episode. I'm talking to Annie Townend today, and Annie is, well, actually, do you want to introduce yourself? Because you're probably going to do it better than me. So who are you and what do you do?
What do I do? Well, I am a partner to leaders and their teams. So I work one-to-one with leaders, offering executive coaching and combining the walk and talk, whether that's in person and or I walk where I live on the South Downs in the UK and they walk where they are. But I also incorporate the walk and talk in the team working that I do with leaders and their team. So paired side-by-side conversations, helping them to have the conversations that matter through creating a safe environment in which any conversation is possible and their relationships deepen and grow stronger so that they can be more creative and do more together through collaborating with each other and with others.
So you're ideal for this podcast then? It's just perfect match.
Well, that's good.
Just take me through that idea of walk and talk. Just tell us, explain exactly what that is.
Well, walking is one of the ways in which I renew myself. And when I was thinking about creativity and the source of my creativity and where I find my rhythm, I definitely find that through walking. So some of the happiest times that I had as a child were walking with my father. So I was brought up in Yorkshire, West Yorkshire, on the Pennines, and getting out for a walk at weekends, be that as a family or walking side by side with my father, and indeed with my mother and sister, was a source of great joy and creativity. It's when I felt my happiest. And as an adult and grown up, being able to walk out of my back door into the countryside has been always one of my criteria for where I've lived, for the houses that I've rented, and the house I live in now for many, many years. It is on the South Downs Way. So I live in what is a semi-detached house built by the army for the land girls who worked on the farm at the time. And so what was interesting about the house and being able to walk from it, which was the criteria for moving here, is that none of the windows really faced onto the land. Because, of course, they worked on the land. So the view of the land was of less importance and significance to them. But having a view and being able to see the horizon is really important to me. And being able to walk out of the back door onto the South Downs Way gives me joy every day and helps me to find my rhythm. So when more and more I realised that movement matters and that being able to move and that the fact that I can move is something I'm really grateful for. So I've mentioned my father already, and he used to say that walking was his medicine. And I really believe, Margaret, that it is mine. And I thought about how can I incorporate the power of walking, and neuroscience now tells us that walking and walking on our own, walking with others and being able to do that in nature, but actually wherever we are, is really important. So I've incorporated that into my one-to-one executive coaching work. And particularly during the pandemic, more and more people sought me out because they could walk with their headphones on anywhere in the world. And I can be walking where I am here on the South Downs Way.
Oh, right.
But in addition, together with somebody that you know and who, like you, is an inspiration to me, is Natalie Shering. And together with her and my colleague and friend Lucy Kidd, we've formed Walking Partnerships. And we invite senior leaders to join us 3 times a year for a day. And these days are always at the transitional points in the year. So we have a spring day, which chimes with the spring equinox. We have a summer, midsummer, late June, summer solstice walk, and one in the autumn. So each of these days are characterized by it being a threshold time and helping leaders to think about how they can incorporate side-by-side conversations, walking and talking with their teams in their one-to-ones, and use the environment, what's happening around them. Today it's very windy here, Margaret, and it's been raining pretty much all week. So it's quite turbulent, you know, and drawing on that and the glimpses of sunshine through the clouds is, you know, so even asking a question around that, you know, what are you getting a glimpse of? Where is the light shining in your life and what are you being drawn to? So we work very much with questions and those side-by-side conversations. So that's how I incorporate it. And in fact, I've one of my first forays, Margaret, into sharing my experience of walking and talking was an invitation on Ramblings. I don't know if you've ever listened to Ramblings. And Claire Balding was inviting people who have a favourite walk to walk and talk with her on the Radio 4, BBC Radio 4, for listeners who don't know it, Ramblings walk. So I thought, well, I've got my favourite walk. And I think this is significant for me in terms of creating the conditions for creativity, because the walk is a familiar one that I do. And so there's something about familiarity and walking out and coming back the way I've walked, which is quite significant. Anyway, she wasn't available when I was, so I ended up walking with one of her colleagues and being part of the Ramblings program, and that was sharing with him and the listeners how I've incorporated the walk and talk side by side conversation in my work.
Brilliant. Well, one of the things I think that's really interesting for me is that since I've moved to Harris, one of my aims for this summer, two of the aims, walking, swimming and creating. So the three, so creating my art and writing. So those are the things. Top of the list is swimming, but I'll always walk to the swim because I wasn't walking so much in the past few years and I want to up that. I know that part of that is leading to, I've got a list somewhere and it says swim, walk, create, paint, write. And it's interesting that is that the swim for me is important, but the walk's important as well. So the two go together. And this house that I've bought, what's wonderful about it is that although I have to drive to the beach to walk and swim, I can walk out the back of my house or the front of the house or the side of it, doesn't really matter. It can just walk. And I've been taking the dog most nights in the evenings just to get her trained on the lead a little bit down the road and over on the Crofts and down to the sea. So I've been doing this walk every day and it's not long, 20 minutes, whatever. And it's been the most wonderful thing. And it's the time when you start thinking, isn't it? And it's the time where all these ideas come forth. So I love that you're doing it in your work. So I think that's just so interesting. But the second thing, just while it's in my mind, my podcast as well. I know you run a podcast. Your podcast is Leaders in Conversation, if anybody wants to go listen. And my podcast has been very kind of like interviews for the past 3 years. And then when it was in Italy in June, I decided this isn't me. Sitting in front of a computer isn't me. The other thing on my list is not sit in front of a computer. Yeah. So maybe I'm wondering if you've got ideas on this. I'll let you know how this is going. But my idea is take it outside. So I've been doing my solo podcast. And if people are coming to visit me in Harris, I'll just take my phone and a little microphone, and I'll do the podcast on location with the sounds, which is why I renamed it Creative Soundscape. So the sounds, because I'm all about the outdoors, you know, but I can't figure out how to do an interview like this. So with me and you, we're using a Riverside, which is a program, you know, and we've got mics and everything, we've got sound quality. I was thinking yesterday that it's beautifully sunny here. It's absolutely glorious today, I've got to say. And I was like, oh, I'd quite like to go to the beach today, but I'm speaking to Annie. Could I do the two at once? And I don't think I could because I haven't got the internet power. But could I? What do you think?
I think you could. I think that's what I love about creativity is you've had the idea and you're talking with me about it, and having a conversation can spark ideas. Yes. So I am a guest on the podcast called Walking Mentorships, and they did the podcast with me walking and talking where I am, and they, Nuno and João, walking and talking with me from Lisbon in Portugal. So I do know that it's possible, Margaret, because I've done it, and I really enjoyed talking with them on location, as it were, they in their location, and hearing more about them, but also me being in my location. But I will find out more about it for you and hook you up with them. They do great work called Walking Mentorships.
Wonderful. And as you say, this is the wonderful thing about people getting together and talking, isn't it? Because these ideas and this knowledge gets shared, and it's just amazing, isn't it? But I think that's the challenges. There's technical challenges. But actually, I met up with Adele Warner Tate last week, and I said, let's just do something on location. And the day turned out, it was raining, it was windy. So we met, our vans met in a car park, and we both had camper vans. I said, just jump in my camper van and we'll do a record in the camper van, because that's all, we'll just have to do that. So we did that, and it was the most hilarious thing that has ever happened to me, actually, and to her as well, because I had my dog and she hadn't been walking, or I don't know, she just went into a bit of a mad mood, and she was in the camper van, we were recording, and then she would just leap across us and onto the surfaces and start eating the mic, but it was interesting. It was real.
Yes.
So I think that is where I want to go.
We can test it out together. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about the spark of creativity and of conversation and collaboration, and that's really important to me in my work. And together with my colleague who I've mentioned, Natalie, and I do walking partnerships with Lucy Kidd, and I have created what we call our collaboration equation. And the first part of that equation is creating a safe environment, the psychological safety. So I'm thinking of your camper van as being that very safe environment in which you could have the conversation and the unexpected could happen or was created between you and with your dog. There is a line, it's actually the title of a poem by David White called Start Close In. I don't know if you know it, but I realised that for me, that starting close in, like you are with your drive, then your walk, then your swim, you are starting close in. You've moved to Harris and you're kind of expanding out into the environment, and it is revealing itself to you. And I think that for me is very important. So I start close in and I gradually expand out into the environment which comes to me. And in that way, I find my rhythm. But I know that there is something about the familiarity of starting close in that helps me to be creative. So that psychological safety for us in our collaboration is really important. And then the next part of the equation is inclusive dialogue. So being able to be really conscious of how language matters and the impact of our language on each other, and creating that safety that allows for conversation that is inclusive, then enables that diversity of thought and feeling, which is the third part of our equation. And the final part is that collaborative edge. which is what I love, because it's a play on competitive edge, which is something that would be talked about in the past so much more. But also, Margaret, those edges, and from permaculture and from gardening, which I don't know a lot about, but I know enough that the phrase growth happens at the edges really resonates with me, and that collaborative edge is about that growth, that creativity, that using our creative constraints in a way that releases potential and possibility. So I'm very excited by the combination of all of this into incorporating collaborative edge in our day to day.
I love that. I love the idea as well. And the very fact that you're sitting here talking to me, and you came to the festival, we met at the festival last year, and
yes,
via Natalie, was it via Natalie?
It was via Natalie, yes.
And Natalie's the most incredible person as well. And the two of you are just a joy to have at the festival. And it's so nice that then we've gone on to do other things. And I love Natalie for her generosity and her... She's inspirational, and she's just one of those people. In fact, she must come on here at some point. I'll have to persuade her. But it's just really nice to those links. The more links and the more sharing and the more collaboration that you can do, that it's just for the better for everybody, isn't it? And that's why podcasting's so nice, isn't it?
It is really lovely. And I want to share with listeners how wonderful meeting you and all the other amazing people that you had gathered together that few days, and what a joy it was to be part of that, and how safe I felt. And you really helped me. I remember going to the Glen and you coming over to me, and I was playing around and I was starting close in, and you suggested that maybe I should think about getting a different lens that would facilitate. Well, I'd never even thought of that. So what I love is learning from you, being inspired by you and all that you share so openly, and how even though I was a beginner, all I had was my camera, as you know, and I looked around me and there were many people with a lot of kit. And I remember walking into the house where we were meeting, and all the different cameras and the kit bags that you could have. And I think in the past, I would have probably thought, in order to get started, I need this, I need that. But actually, what I'm really loving is having that beginner's mindset, mm-hmm. being able to ask for help. And you helped me more recently and locally to me in Sussex. I met on that workshop with you, Paul Sanders, and I went on a one-day workshop with him. In fact, it was rained off. I think you have better weather in Harris than we do here in Sussex, because that particular day we went to the seaside, local to here, and at about lunchtime we retreated to a cafe, and there was no way we could venture out. But even then I learned the importance of having an umbrella, who'd have thought, to cover the camera because of rain on the lens. You know, a small thing, and I delight in this learning. So I love landscape, but I'm also more recently, and that's why I love the title of your podcast, Scapes, of really listening and tuning into, again, the sounds close in, then a bit further, then a bit further, which I really enjoy. What I'm drawn to in landscape and in learning to take photographs with my camera rather than my phone is I love the play of light, shadow, of movement over the downs and the texture. So I mentioned that I was brought up in West Yorkshire and the Pennines, where the weather is very active. And I realised that love of the land and finding my feet through walking on the land is so very, very important to me wherever I am. So in my work, I travel to places and all of the places. And one of the things that I do is when I get there and I've built in time to do is I arrive early. I arrive always in daylight so I can have a walk, so I can find my feet. And that helps me to have a sense of belonging wherever I am. And that opens up the creativity for me.
So interesting. In fact, I've got my friend Leslie Lintott is with me just now, actually. And we were having this very similar discussion in the car yesterday on the way back. We said, I think we'll do a podcast. And what will we do about? Well, maybe about the fact that she went to photograph yesterday and she got a bit frustrated with the photography. And then she just went for a walk instead. And she said, and the walk was just wonderful. And that's just what I needed. And now I feel creative again. And so I was going, I wonder if that's one of the things that people need to learn more. We see this quite often if we've got like workshops. If you just go off by yourself for a little walk, rather than standing there thinking I've got to take a photograph, it's a great way of releasing that creativity. And I was saying, I wonder if that's what swimming does for me and walking does for you. But I think walking does it for me as well. I think it does it for everybody. It's accessible, isn't it?
It's accessible. And I think making places accessible to people who maybe aren't able to walk, but who are perhaps in a wheelchair is really important, so that we make everywhere more accessible to everybody. And that's a really important, living on the South Downs Way, I often think about that. And there are parts of the South Downs Way which are more accessible than others to people who may not be able to walk. And I certainly noticed with my father that when he was no longer able to walk and he was in a wheelchair, that something went out of him. You know, walking having been his medicine, something went out of him. And I think it would me too, Margaret, if I weren't able to get out to walk or be outside and to feel the air and the wind and the light. Jeez. I love that you go swimming.
Swimming is definitely my medicine, definitely. Walking's important, but for me, swimming's when I have, well, there's two things. I have a lot of creative thoughts and a lot of things just when the mind opens when I'm swimming. But it's also a hyper-awareness of the environment and of nature and how amazing it is, because it is pretty amazing here. So it heightens your connection to the landscape and to the sea and everything, because you're in it, you know, you're right in it. So it's just one of the ways of opening up to being creative. It's like Sean Tucker says, you take that deep breath in before you can breathe out the creative. You have to breathe in before you can breathe out.
I am properly at the edge of my comfort zone at the thought of it. So that's why I'm curious about swimming. I always imagine, but my children tease me, that if I lived by the sea, then that would be my natural place for restoring myself, for renewing myself, and for resting in between things. But it isn't. I would have to get, although I'm not far from the coast, I would have to drive there. So there's something about being able to simply, it's very simple, I can get up and walk outside at any time that doesn't necessitate getting into a car, navigating myself somewhere. But it could be a myth, but it is one that I believe, that if I lived closer to the sea, that I would go into the sea, because I do know the benefits for mental health, for well-being, in the same way that 10 minutes walking in nature or around a park or along a street, you know, with intention, can be so restorative and renewing and open up new thoughts. Have you always been a swimmer?
Yes. So I swam as a child. It was a long history of swimming, but it's always been a way of releasing and relaxing, and it's almost like a meditation when it's in the pool. It's very different. The pool's very different to outdoors. So the pool I need almost, it's that meditative sort of rhythmic strokes, and that's fantastic for fitness. The outdoors is very different. It's very much like, it's a healing. It's definitely a healing. For instance, yesterday I had a terrible day. So I was so tired and felt awful all day. And it wasn't until the evening that I managed to get down to the beach, and Leslie came with me and said, "You really need this." I was like, "Yeah, I really need this." And we went in. It was quite cold by then. It was quite cold and windy. I was like, "Oh, what are we doing?" And then I was like, "I've just got to get my head underneath." And once your head goes underneath and up, that's it. It's almost like you're refreshed. That's it. You can start the day again. And everything in your body is new. It's very hard to describe, but it's the cold that does that. It wouldn't be the same if it was warm. So it's something now that you can easily get addicted to it, but in a good way, because it's great for you.
Yes.
So I'm trying to plan today when I can get there. And actually, what you were talking about, not driving, really interesting, because I agree. I think that walking from it makes a difference. I'm very lucky because I can actually walk to the sea from the door as well. It's not the beach, but I've got a rocky shoreline that I can go in if I want to. So I can just walk, and it's like 3 minutes. So
amazing.
I think it might be different for you. And I think you might like to try it, because I think you'd be very open to it. Just try it in sort of like round about now rather than, you know, February.
Yes, I agree. I think I'm a bit scared of it. And in part, that's because I am short-sighted. So I probably need to get prescription goggles, which I have had in the past, but that's been for swimming indoors. So I'm definitely drawn outdoors. But there's something about the expansiveness of the wide open sea that scares me about not being able to. I think I mentioned earlier that I love being able to see the horizon and imagine what's beyond. I think my experience of being in the sea, when I have been a long time ago, is of not being able to see where the sea and the sky meet, and of feeling so small and so vulnerable. Yeah. And I need to be able to feel that and feel safe. So it's a theme of our conversation, the familiarity of feeling safe. You're familiar with the ocean. You feel at home in a way that I haven't yet found.
Interesting, that one, because actually I feel scared of it as well at times, and it's big and it's scary. And when we talk about open water swimming or wild swimming, it's not like swimming miles into the deep ocean. We can reframe that. So yesterday we stood in the shallows, and because it was shallow for so far, it was shallow up to my knees. So I was like, right, I'm just going to get down, and I can swim in this, because you can. You just lift your body up and you swim in it. It's just the nature of the tide at the time. It was very, very shallow. And Leslie doesn't really swim. It's more about getting in there. You can stand in the water. You can lie in the water. You can just move your arms. A little bit of movement's great. But swimming, I'm not an advocate for long distance swimming or competitiveness or anything. I think you go in for the experience of outdoor swimming. So maybe that helps you sort of see a way to.
It does. Yeah. It does, Margaret, because I think what you're describing, the couple of things come to mind, is it's about being in the water.
Yeah. Not swimming.
So I often talk about in leadership that leadership is more about who you're being than what you do. Recently, one of my podcast guests who founded the Reflective Horse, Cassandra Ogier, she and I had a conversation, and at one time we wanted to work together. She, because she rides horses, lives with horses, is a passionate horsewoman. But through her work with the Reflective Horse that she founded, it's about being. In fact, the experiences I've had with her have never involved riding the horse, ever. And I'm not even sure she rides the horses that she lives and alongside, that it's much more about being with the horse and experiencing what they can teach us. And it's a little it's a little bit the same, I think, with the land, with the sea, with the environment. Is there's so much that we can learn from that, and expressing our gratitude towards the land, the sea,
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, totally. And taking away that being scared of something, it sounding quite like a big thing to be able to achieve, or a grand ability to swim 2 miles, this competitive nature of things. So it can go from swimming to anything, to say surfing. So I say, I'm going surfing, and everybody thinks, oh, you must be a really good surfer. And you've got imagine of like riding these waves. Well, no, actually, a lot of the time I just like bobbing about on the board because I'm not a very good surfer.
Lovely.
So we take that back to what the experience of surfing is for me. And it's in these very, very tiny, tiny, tiny waves. Because it's not scary then.
Yes.
And just lying on the board and the movement of the water, and when the wave comes through underneath you, you bob up and down. It's just wonderful. So that's surfing for me. Yeah. So I think sometimes we try and make other people maybe try and make things sound like they're really good
bigger
at
than they are.
That's it. I was trying to
Yeah.
Words.
I think that's so significant. One of the things I was thinking about is every year I take a few weeks. The number of weeks varies depending on what's going on in my life, to rest, renew and find my rhythm. But what you're talking about here reminds me of a book I read called Step Back, in which the author talks about finding rest and renewal in the cracks and crevices of your everyday. Mm. And it's those small movements, that small surf wave that lifts you up, and you might only be in the water for a short while. It doesn't have to be this big thing. And I think that for me is really important, because the people I work with, and so many people, our lives are very full. So finding the cracks and crevices in the day to take that time to stop, to be, really, and whatever helps. And I know for different people, different things work. You know, for you, it's swimming. For me, I haven't yet discovered myself in the water. I've not found myself there. But you do make it exciting. And I have a feeling one day, Margaret, I will. Maybe when I'm with you in Cornwall, perhaps I'll get some prescription goggles. That's my challenge. So I'm really looking forward to immersing myself in what sounds, with Natalie again, in a very rounded experience of being, of learning, of creating, of using my camera to capture things, but also to write. Writing is very important to me, and one of the ways that I find my rhythm and make sense of my life through writing. Even preparing for our conversation, I spent some time jotting things down. And I participate, if anybody else is interested, through writing in Kathy Rensenbrink's online once a month writing class. And I really recommend it. It's a Sunday afternoon, usually the first Sunday of every month. And that's become part of my monthly rhythm, that I start the month with this 3 hours. And the way in which she does it, I've learned so much from Kathy by way of writing. She is also, probably what made me think of it, she also rests and renews through swimming. She lives in Cornwall in the UK. And she's inspiring. She's written many books, but a couple that come to mind are entitled, one, How to Feel Better, a really lovely book. And the book that engaged me in her writing and joining this class is called Write It All Down.
Right.
So she's a real advocate of just writing for oneself. She asks great questions, great prompts. And like you, in your podcast and in your work through the photography, Margaret, you know, she inspires me. So I think for listeners as well, looking for where you get inspiration. Some of it comes from being on one's own, maybe in the water, on the land, wherever. And some of it comes from learning from people who have developed their talent, have a skill in it. So I very early on, for example, realised that I had a talent for working with people, and particularly people in organisations, to tap into people in the communities in which they work and or live. But I had still a lot to learn, you know, the art of doing what I do. And it's the same with photography. I'm learning from you because you have so much to teach, not only about photography, but also sound as well.
Fantastic. Yes. And I think that is the whole idea there. There's loads of ideas going on there, but I like the idea of making things accessible. Is I think when we start to talk about things like the surfing, the taking the time out, and the swimming and the walking, it doesn't have to be a grand thing. It's accessible to everybody. It's really nice because then we're actually helping people. Swimming doesn't have to be actually swimming. It's dipping or standing. Because I know...
I love it's great. That.
We just call it standing in the water.
Standing in the water, yeah. Because, wild standing.
Because that might... I know that when people do that, it helps them, and it can help them on so many mental and physical levels. And if you can encourage more people to do it, amazing. But equally, as you say, with the time out, which I just want to touch on quickly, it doesn't have to be a grand gesture. Again, it doesn't have to be like, I know you're going to take a month away. It doesn't have to be that. It can be like what I did last night. I'm going to get I'm going to get in the water for half an hour, and then that's it. That's my time out. That's my renew, refresh. Yeah. And it's great. But saying that, it is great when you can take some time out. So just briefly, let's end on telling us what's ahead for you just now.
Well, making time to take small pauses every day, I think, is really important. And I think as we come to the end of our conversation, one of the things that I'm reminded of is a book I read. So reading, making time to read. I am taking 4 weeks, and I've got a pile of books. It started as 3 books. It's now 6. And probably by the time I go, I'm going to have to pay excess baggage. But reading is a great source. Years ago, I read a book on, it's a memoir, and I do love reading memoirs. So some of the books that I'm going to be reading are life stories, memoirs. It's why I started the podcast Leaders in Conversation with Annie Townend, because I wanted to facilitate leaders sharing their stories. I'm privileged to hear them, but in a room, in a confidential, safe environment, I wanted to help more people share their stories to give confidence and courage to other people. But this book I read was, I can't remember the author's name now, but he was writing about his big adventure, walking from one coast of India to the other coast. And his big learning was, as his life evolved and changed and he had other commitments, to meet each day as if it were a mini adventure. So he couldn't do that, the equivalent of a long distance swim or a big walk. But what he could do is greet each day with the mindset of it being a mini adventure. So that's where I'd like to end, in a way, is thinking of each day. And it helps me of greeting the day and of it being a mini adventure with twists and turns and the unexpected, you know, your dog in your camper van trying to eat the microphone, that kind, you know, the unexpected. And the fact that we are improvising all the time, you know, meeting ourselves where we're at, meeting each other where we're at, and treating and thinking of each day as a mini adventure.
Beautiful, beautiful. I will go and treat this day as a mini adventure. In my adventure, I'm going to start painting the front of my house.
Wonderful.
Which is great, actually. It's actually really great. I've got another podcast later, and then I will be heading to the beach tonight for a swim. There we are. Wow. Well, you have your wonderful month away and 6 books. I think I'd probably be more like 10.
Well, it will be by the time I go. Yeah. I wish you well with your day, with your mini adventure. Thank you for having me on your podcast. And if anybody wants to get in touch with me to find out more about walking partnerships or indeed our collaboration equation, to invite people to go to my website, annietownend.com, and of course to listen to my podcast as well, Leaders in Conversation with Annie Townend.
We'll put links in the show notes as well so people can find you. Thank you so much for your time. Bye then.
Have a great adventure today painting your house.
Brilliant.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.